Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's The Takeaway. I'm Matt Katz, in for Tanzina Vega, and coming to you today from our studio, well, my tiny bedroom closet in Philadelphia, while my kids are isolated in front of the TV. Staying home with kids during the coronavirus outbreak is presenting a unique set of challenges for parents across the country. Last week, comedian Roy Wood Jr. was grilled on this experience by his three-year-old son.
Are you the daddy?
I mean, you know, we're in unprecedented times right now, and I really think that fatherhood is a moving target, and I don't think it's fair to say that you could be a good dad or a bad dad when the truth of the matter is that, you know, fatherhood, the best you can be is trying to be a good father every day. This quarantine is stressing everybody. You know, you're spending more time around your kids. I'm lucky because all I got is a three-year-old. If he was 14, 15, I'd have to fight him every day. But I got a three-year-old. You just give him chocolate milk and graham crackers, and you're pretty much in the game for most of the day. So we'll just look at the tape and see what we can do tomorrow to be a better parent.
Roy is a stand-up comic and a correspondent for The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. So far, his day job has remained relatively steady. He's still working on segments for The Daily Show from home. But the widespread economic toll of social distancing has Roy worried about the future of comedy clubs across the country. In our series, Joking from a Distance, we're checking in with comedians during the coronavirus outbreak. I spoke with Roy about what this moment means for the stand-up world.
You know, there are a lot of comedy clubs that are closing. A lot of them have started GoFundMes for the staff. Comedian Mike Birbiglia quarterbacked something that, you know, I've been helping him with called tipyourwaitstaff.com. And basically, Birbiglia and I are getting on the internet and having, you know, candid conversations with stand-ups just about their joke writing process. And we're doing it. Each comedian nominates a comedy club and we raise money for their waitstaff. End of the week, we send that money down to the club, make sure that the staff gets a little something to keep them afloat, because even with the federal assistance that's coming down the pipe, that's not going to be enough, especially when you think about how comedy and entertainment will be one of the last things to come back, as it should be, because it's a disposable income expenditure. So, you know, when we think about those people that have, you know, thrived in these comedy clubs for so long, you know, we just wanted to be able to do something for them. The comedians, on the other hand, that's a totally different conversation. You know, I'm not sure what we'll be able to do down the road for the actual comedians. But I think ultimately what will happen is that, you know, comedians are going to have to start figuring out their own venues and creating more independent spots. I think the alt comedy movement that started in the early aughts, kind of that first generation, Brian Posehn, Sarah Silverman, Patton Oswalt, I think their style of finding atypical venues to do comedy in, I think that's going to become the new norm. You know, I could be wrong. You know, it's all too early to tell. I just know that a lot of clubs are going to close and not come back, period. So off of that alone, there are fewer places for comedians in those areas to do comedy. So if you're a person who wants to do comedy, you now either have to move to a coast or figure out your own infrastructure. And if you're currently a road comic that tours 50 weeks a year, you're probably only going to tour 40. If you're someone that only tours 40, you're probably only going to do 25. You do 25, you're only going to do 10. Like, so there's going to be adjustments. You know, it just remains to be seen just how far these are going to go.
Yeah. In the meantime, you said you were raising money for some of these comedy club workers, and you've been using Instagram Live. And I'm just curious what it's like telling jokes and making people laugh without actually hearing an audience other than maybe your three-year-old. I mean, you see the little stuff, the little hearts come up on Instagram, but you don't hear anything. Is that just bizarre? How do you work off that?
It's different for me. It's a medium that a lot of other comedians swim in. There's an adjustment, but, you know, people are responding. So you know that it's not falling on deaf ears. But there are people that are doing true stand-up comedy, microphone and the whole nine, just into a camera and uploading that online. There's people that are doing comedy in their room and streaming it on YouTube. Like, there are a million and one different things. there are a million and one different ways to do it. Comedian Mark Norman, he did something the other day where he went out in the street and performed comedy to people one by one while maintaining social distance. So it was kind of like Man on the Street, kind of like Billy Eichner, but it was just one guy with a microphone, and you know, he's got rubber gloves on. Like it was very
great.
It was very creative. It was very creatively well done.
And you're still doing the Della Show. I wanted to play a clip from that. One assignment you had this month was evaluating some of the disaster movies that people have been talking about during the coronavirus outbreak. Here's what you had to say about the movie Contagion.
So Contagion, Gwyneth Paltrow spreads a pandemic all over the world. It's kind of like Goop, but without the steaming. But the cast is stacked. You had Gwyneth, you had the white girl from Titanic that let Leo DiCaprio die. You had Walter White, Matt Damon. I'm not sure if he was talking in a Boston accent in that movie. The virus is spreading wicked fast. Overall, if you're worried about catching that Rona, watch another movie other than Contagion. It is too close to home.
I'm laughing here in my closet. Are you just, you guys at the Della Show, I mean, is it all Corona all the time? I mean, is that when you're emailing back and forth and coming up with segments, I mean, are you trying to make people laugh about this thing but not cross the line? And is this the only thing you guys are talking about?
We are here to educate and inform, and if there's a joke that can be done tastefully, then you know, we'll take that opportunity. But I think when it's a time of tragedy, the joke is never about the tragedy. The joke is about it being mishandled, the people mishandling it, or things that are happening in the surrounding orbit of the tragedy. Okay, Corona's the issue and people are dying and some people are not heeding the warnings. Okay, fine. But then you look at the airline industry eliminating middle seats. How are people adjusting to this tragedy? There's jokes in that. The ridiculousness that the airline industry deserves another bailout. You know, when you look at some of the things that certain cities are doing, like all of the mayors in Italy, like all of our politicians are composed on television and, you know, Governor Cuomo and Governor Newsom in California, please people do the right thing and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Meanwhile, Italian mayors on TV literally cursing out the town. It looks like two rappers beefing with each other. That's funny.
Yeah.
That contrast is funny. And in nowhere in there have you stepped on the severity of what's going on in the reality of this world. This video of Italian helicopters pulling up to people on the beach and letting the rotor wash sweep sand into people's eyes to shoo them off of the beach. That's funny.
I didn't see that.
Go find that. That's very funny. But you're not making jokes about people dying. You're not making jokes about the hospitals being overstaffed and stressed out. So there's always going to be jokes on the outer orbit, on the outer rings of an issue that you can kind of find and then settle into something more serious. You know, I don't really think that because the world is hurting, you shut down the laughs. You just figure out the most tactful way to disseminate them, because no matter what, people still, there's still someone out there that this might help and they might find this funny and it gets them through just to the next day.
Roy Wood Jr. is a stand-up comedian and correspondent for The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. Thanks so much for making us laugh, Roy.
Thank you.